shot in the dark. So where is your spark? I'm a light that's too bright for me to see.
Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, kids, here we go. Episode 262. Day off, not behind the counter and not on an airplane for the first time in a long time, man. It's a good day. It's nice outside. It's going to be turning into Siberia tomorrow. So we're kind of enjoying the day, having a nice little free and easy Friday. And to celebrate the free and easy Friday, I have a special treat for you. And I know what you're thinking. No, not that special treat. Not Chris special treat Stefanik. A different special treat. But same vintage as Chris special treat Stefanik. Please put your hands together, ladies and gentlemen. Give a warm, warm counterposition welcome to the lovely and talented Jim Ducky Laurent.
Hey, hey, this is your not-so-humble host. Andrew's favorite pride and joy is his humility. He's your humble host. I'm not the humble host.
You know, I'm really humble.
Yeah, I think what you're most proud of, I know.
I think of all of my great virtues.
Yeah.
I think my humility might be the greatest.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm pretty humble. I mean, I'm probably way more humble than you are. I mean,
yeah, probably.
I mean, I'm more humble than most people you'll meet. I mean, it's pretty rare you meet someone as humble as I am. I mean, it's pretty impressive.
No.
So Ducky got roped into being on the show today. I think I'm loud. I'm going to turn it down a little bit. It's so funny. You're like on 90 and I'm on 73.
Oh, really? Should I hold it away?
No. It's like, you're fine.
Okay.
I'm just loud.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're used to it, though. All right, so, me and Duck hanging out, we both had the day off.
Yeah.
We've had so far today the kind of day that I picture myself having when I move to a neighborhood like this.
Yeah.
That then I never do. It's like a walkable neighborhood, so we got up, went to Mass, walked to Mass, the whole block and a half.
Yeah, in the freezing cold, mind you. So it was seemed a lot longer than it really was.
It was 35, 36 degrees.
But it didn't feel like it. It felt colder to me.
Yeah.
I'm from here. I'm from Colorado. It
yeah, because you're
like a typical
girl.
Colorado cold.
Yeah, it was. Anyway, so so we drove, we walked down, went to Mother of God for Mass, and then we went to Indian food.
Oh, yeah.
And we took our friend Joel with us, and we saw many beautiful Indian food eating women that were that Ducky didn't talk.
Can we say yeah? There was like a bevy of Bettys, you know,
a bevy of Bettys,
like a whole bunch of single beautiful women hanging out at
Bettys.
I think
we figured out
Indian
why you're still single.
Though. Yeah, because I call them Bettys.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a Barney looking for my Betty.
So if you're a Betty looking for your Barney,
yeah,
then Jim Laurent might be the Barney for you. You know, the last when I had Chris on last time, he started making a pitch to like any single woman listening. He's like, look, I don't know if you've eaten Andrew's food, but you get him there somehow.
No, seriously, girls.
He was like doing this big pitch, trying to like pitch me. I'm like cracking
up. Yeah, Andrew and I, we live together now. He'll cook.
Andy, where are you going?
I don't know.
Where'd that come from?
I don't know where.
I've never been Andy around you in my life.
I know, it's weird.
Andy,
Andrew will cook you a great meal. I'll entertain you, and we'll.
Yeah,
have
there
a good
you go.
Time.
Right, so there you go. This has been the sponsored by
Catholic Mass.
Yeah, sponsored by Catholic Mass.
Oh, we can't say that though. That's a sponsor. You know.
Yeah, that's right. We don't
sponsored
have,
by
don't sponsor.
vague Catholic
dating don't
website.
Us, so yeah, nobody.
Just like
sponsor.
I work for the leading
financial
institution in south of Denver.
Yeah. So the Ducky's been on before, and if you can want to listen to that, if you ever want to listen to the show ever again after this interview, that one was called Leading Financial Institution because Ducky works at a leading financial institution. But he's not allowed to use its name on social media.
Not allowed to use it on social media, yep.
Yeah, so you've been at leading financial institution for a while now.
Yeah, it's been a year and a half. Wow. It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, if it's two years, and like if you made a buck a year, it would be $2. Like $2 chuck, for instance.
Yeah, which is also down the street we could walk to.
Yeah, that's
Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where you're going with this. I'm trying to follow your logic. Where
are we doing? You'll think about it later and you'll go, oh, I get it now. Never mind. All right, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm picking up what you're throwing down.
You're smelling what I'm stepping in, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm smoking what you sell. Okay.
This man, this is like. This is a Catholic show, Ducky.
Yeah, I know.
You can't
Sorry.
Just do that.
I don't know how far we can go, so you just gotta give me a little wink and say, okay, Ducky, stop that.
We can kind of go where we want to within, well, not really bounds, but more like...
Say, is it within reason?
That's more, you know, kind of like, I'm not, you know, they're fences, but they're kind of like those like the invisible fences, you know?
Okay.
You don't know you've hit them until you hear the zzz,
yeah.
Wow!
Yeah,
it's
feel
like
the pain.
That, yeah. All right, so... Yeah, and so we ran into Christy Steffel at Mass, and then I just caught her on. She was jogging, which people run. I don't why. Are there something chasing them? I don't understand. Yeah. People running. Why do you run? Why don't you just turn around and face what you're running from? You know, I faced my fears a long time
ago,
and I don't have to run anymore. You know, No. So Christy was running and stopping, and because when we were talking, so our friend Christy, we caught her on the way out of Mass, and I was trying to talk to her, but then there's this dude. So here's the thing. I've talked about on the show a million times that my old man growing up drank and stuff. I got all kinds of issues and stuff. And so I've decided that I want to go sit down with a Catholic therapist and chat with him about some stuff and kind of work on some stuff that's kind of plaguing me, you know, kind of stuff left over from childhood or whatever. We all go, we don't get out of here without getting screwed up. Some of us get screwed up in a way that affects things more than others. I just wouldn't mind talking to someone about that. The problem is that I'm so interested in psychology. And I'm so interested in the interface between theology and psychology that every single decent Catholic therapist in this town, I end up becoming friends with them. So I saw Matt Reinhardt walking out of Mass, and I'm like, hey, I want to come see you before we end up friends because I'm friends with everybody else in your firm. Nice. So we cannot be friends because I want you to be my new counselor. So he was like, oh, that's fine, yeah.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, so with Jim, Ken... Elizabeth Rizzo, I mean, like, all these people, I'm friends with all of them. You can't go see them as, like, some
yeah,
kind of counselor,
exactly.
You know? Yeah, so I we had to cut the conversation with Christy short, but then she ran into me as I was coming back from the restaurant, and so I told her all about the crazy shenanigans going on in Flint, Michigan she wanted to hear about. So shout out to Flint, Michigan, everybody, if you're listening. All right, so we're not really sure what we're going to talk about today.
No.
Ducky's like, what are we going to talk about?
He's like, you had lunch where we're eating. I'm eating my nice little, you know, pakora from the Indian place. He's like, hey, you want to be on my show? I was like, I don't know, maybe. Sure, let's go for it. What are we going to talk about?
You
we'll
know,
figure it out when we get there.
My listeners are used to this. I like to just.
It's okay.
I don't know. I don't do interviews really. I mean, I sometimes kind of get more interviewee.
Yeah, last time we did it was actually kind of interview because we talked about CL and we wanted to talk about like, well, what is reality? And we talked about that. That was good,
right. So last time was good, but it was more, hey, let me introduce you to this person and let's talk about who you are. But we did that, so now we can just be two friends talking about things.
Yeah.
All right. So okay. So
I'll
let's
let you lead.
Let's continue the conversation.
I will follow. You be the leader of the dance. I'll be the Lord of the dance.
The Lord of the God.
The Lord of the dance.
Oh, my gosh. Dude, that's horrible. Don't ever.
That was horrible.
Never do that again. Never bring
Speaking
up.
Speaking of, though, you know the Stephen Colbert? What was it?
The
King
of Glory.
Oh, my gosh.
That is spectacular.
Any of you out there in Radio Land, if you have not seen it, you have to see it.
Yeah, YouTube, Stephen Colbert, King of Glory. It is the post-Vatican II fiasco of the misapplication and misimplementation
of
Vatican
II
you've ever seen. The problem is he's kind of like that, though. He kind of likes that liberal, weird, modern.
He does, but I don't know if he really enjoys the King of Glory.
Yeah, but he's definitely making fun. He got on my good side when he started making fun of that. Have I ever told you about the Purgatorio I'm writing? I'm writing like Dante's Inferno.
I thought you were living it.
I am living it. Yeah. you know, Dante wrote the Divine Comedy.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, and I'm writing a new version of the Purgatorio, and I've been working on some sections, and I got this section in Purgatory where there's this giant steel disc. And there's a fire burning under this steel disc, and it's all the gather hymnals from the history of the church. And the fire's hottest in the middle, and that's where Dan Shute and Marty Haugen have to stand barefoot and do liturgical dance barefoot on this hot steel, and all the liturgists that have ruined the liturgy are ranked by how bad they were, and
that's
they're
funny.
On the steel disc, and they have to liturgically dance barefoot on this hot metal until until the last gather hymnal burns.
That is awesome.
Which is funny. That's what he was doing. That's really what Dante was doing. All these people were known.
Just punishing them for what they did.
But I mean, all the names and stuff that he puts throughout.
All
heaven, hell, and purgatory. I mean,
they're real people.
They're real people that everyone knows. I mean, it's commentary.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
I don't know who Cardinal so-and-so is, but I'm sure back in the 1200s, so-and-so did.
They're like, oh, my gosh.
He just got deuced.
Oh, dude, he went there.
Cardinal so-and-so just got deuced.
And I'm always tempted to get all hip-hop with these mics, especially when you got it in your hand.
I know. It's got this pop filter on there. I could do a little beatboxing, you know.
Yeah, we were talking about maybe going to get Ducky throw me a beat later on. Maybe we might have to do the very first freestyle.
Let's do it, man.
Dude, if Shia LaBeouf can be on Five Fingers of Death,
Shia LaBeouf.
Then I think I could rap on my show if Shia LaBeouf can be on Five Fingers of Death. If no one's seen that, dude, go YouTube Shia LaBeouf Five Fingers of Death. There's a morning radio show where they do five different beats and you have to freestyle over them. And they bring all these famous rappers in. And Shia freaking LaBeouf went on there and destroyed. Evidently, he's like some amazing savant, like freestyle rapper. Shia LaBeouf, the actor.
I haven't heard of this. I just know the Shia LaBeouf song that band did that one time.
I didn't know anything about that.
Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf.
Okay, on that note, this has been the Shia LaBeouf report on the counter position. All right, so we're going to head off to the break, and when we get back, we're going to try to bring it home, find something interesting to talk about. Chatty first segment over. They're used to the chatty first segment. All right. Let's head off to the break. You're listening to the counter position. I am your host.
Let my sacred word to mutter. Ran too fast and turned to butter. I'm a bit too much for me to chew.
If you enjoy listening to Andrew Whaley on The Counter Position, you should become a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
Let me skip across the pond. I'm an ocean on and on. I'm a fish with no bowl that I outgrew. Lift my blood. See only one on track.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Biggity 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 Bread Box Media.
Yeah, boy. Pick it up. That's a little more of a ska beat right there.
That was kind of... that's why I gave it, like, you did that. And I was like, bruh. Yeah, man. We'll break it down ska style. We'll break it down,
yeah, boy.
All right,
check yourself before you wreck yourself, boy.
Everything's going to be irie today on the counter position. All right, so let's get off of this. Come on.
All right, I know.
So, Ducky and I were talking on the break about what we could talk about, ideas, and he brought something up that I want to talk about, and I think this is going to be interesting, and I think it's going to be one of the biggest switches from absolute just joking chat to like real serious conversation that's ever happened on the show. So
bare our souls.
Yeah. Okay. So I was talking in the first segment a little bit about running the Matt Reinhardt at Mass, and I don't hit my card and saying, hey, let's get together. I want to come see you. And then once you got me fixed, then I want to be your friend because you have studied at all the places I wish I could study, and I'm really interested in some ideas. So Ducky and I both have had, we've kind of dealt with kind of like, different mental things or emotional stuff over the course of our life. And so you've been to counseling before, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, excuse me, sorry, clear my throat there. And I brought it up to Andrew. I was like, you know what, if you were talking about, you know, this guy for counseling, you know, that's something I'd be willing to talk about as well, you know.
Yeah, I didn't want to put you on blast on there.
No, I mean, I'm the one who brought it up even, because I think it might be something good to talk about. I know for me, with my anxiety and obsessive compulsive disorder that I've dealt with for over a decade, the more I hear that other people deal with it, and the more that I find out that I'm actually a normal human being, it's just something that normal human beings experience. It's good for other people to hear that. So maybe your listeners deal
normal
with this.
Normal might be a little bit of a stress.
True that. True that. Yeah.
So now I know I know you talk about having anxiety, and I've heard you talk about having anxiety. I know you're OCD, but I've never heard you either mention or admit that you're OCD. But you're definitely.
Now it's out for the airwaves to know.
Oh, I know. It's like, I mean, anybody who knows you can see the little kind of like the little tics and stuff like that.
Really?
That, you know, I mean,
that
like,
makes me nervous.
Not that. No, I don't mean physically. I mean,
I get tics. Yeah.
No, I wasn't meaning literally that. I was meaning like the metaphorically, like the little kind of like tweaks in your behavior here and there, that where you can tell you're kind of having to adjust to a situation or something like that. But I didn't know you would full on call that OCD.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if you would call that necessarily that, but yeah, I mean, it's funny that this is all kind of coming in circle here because Andrew and I went to Mass at Mother of God,
yeah.
and the priest there, Father Roland Freeman, is a licensed psychologist. I used to go to him for sessions
and
for spiritual direction, and the fact that this other Ryan gentleman was there. Yeah, Father Freeman, he's a licensed psychologist, or psychologist.
That explains it. Because
yeah, that's why he's so amazing.
Well, I was in the confessional one time there, and I had Conrad Barr's book, Healing the Unaffirmed, and he got very excited when he saw me reading that and told me a great story about a conversation that happened over dinner at a conference with this other psychologist and Conrad Barrs. And I was thinking, well, how are you hanging out with Conrad Barrs? Well, and that explains it. The guy's a psychologist.
Yeah.
A psychiatrist, right?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, honestly, anybody who lives in Denver who knows Father Freeman knows that he is an amazing confessor. And I think that's why, because he has the psychology background. It's not just confession. You actually get a little bit of a psychological session with him, which, you know, to some people is kind of annoying because you're waiting to get into confession because you have to confess your sins.
Yeah.
Really?
Everyone thinks about how merciful
like, just
he
get
is.
Get in there and get the mercy over
he
with. I want to get in.
He just hits me. He's just like, you screwed up. You're going to hell. And then he punches me right in the nose.
Yeah, pretty much.
Every time.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's pretty mean.
I noticed your nose was bleeding today. What the
I didn't go to
confession. No, you didn't go to confession. Never mind.
We were too late.
Yeah. No, but he was my – so basically just my quick story, to make it quick, I went to Franciscan University.
We've got three more segments.
Okay.
You don't have to be quick.
Well, I'll just give the quick rundown if we want to go into any other things into it. I went to Franciscan University, graduated. My senior year, I would consider my senior year hell. I really started struggling with anxiety and obsessive compulsive behaviors. I felt like I needed to be in the chapel literally all the time until I finished my prayers properly. So I would literally be in the chapel 6-7 hours straight.
Oh my gosh.
And I would that
be more
sleep.
And that would be more along the lines of like scrupulosity.
Right? It was. Yeah, actually scrupulosity. So let me clarify that. Yeah, I mean, the anxiety was manifest in scrupulosity. It wasn't like obsessive compulsive where I had to wash my hands 12 times. It was more scrupulosity.
Yeah.
So that year, I started going to see a counselor and slowly got out of it. Then I graduated and came back home to Denver, got hooked up with Father Roland Freeman, who helped me out, and then Father David Sanji, who was one of the Franciscans at the seminary.
I visited you know, a couple Sanji? Times with Sanji. Yeah.
Yeah, he's legit. I love Sanji. Actually, he was probably the best one for me.
Yeah, he's good.
And then the other thing I wanted to mention about that, and I was thinking about...
He's a Capuchin, right? Or Capuchin.
Yeah, he's a Capuchin, yeah. And what I was thinking about today, while we were at Mass, and reminiscing my times with Father Roland Freeman, and then Father David, is like, and those of you out there who might be struggling with this, you need to find a counselor or a psychologist who you identify with. Father Roland was a great, great priest, great man, but he wasn't the one for me. You got to have that relationship.
Right.
So maybe for you and this gentleman, Ryan...
No, it's Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan, sorry.
Matt Reinhardt,
whatever.
Yeah. So he's
this guy named Bob.
He's the new guy at St. Raphael Counseling, which our mutual friend Ken Kramer was one of the founders of St. Raphael Counseling here in town.
Shout out to Ken.
Love you. Yeah, I love Ken. I'm going to go see them soon, I think.
Good.
So they're up on the Fort Belknap Indian Reservation. I've interviewed Ken on the show before.
Yeah.
So Ken sold his half of the practice and took off to go live on a reservation with his wife and to help poor people. But so it's funny because of Ken, I kept struggling with whether I wanted to go to Ken or I wanted to be his friend. And then I ended up being friends with Elizabeth Rizzo. And then we ended up at her graduation party and we were like BFFs in like 10 minutes. So I ended up with a really close friend who's a great psychologist, but I can't go see him.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth, I can't go see. And Jim, the other person that founded St. Raphael, is amazing, and I tried to talk him into it the last time I was on a retreat with him, but he's just too busy. He doesn't have any slots open. So when I saw this Matt guy, and he studied at the IPS, the Institute for Psychological Sciences, which is kind of applying John Paul II's Christian anthropology to a therapeutic background, which is totally philosophically up my down my alley. So with a solid nod and an understanding of Thomas too. So when I saw him on there, like, I'm gonna jump on that. So yeah, I think he'll be a good connection. But you say you're saying this Father Sanji was your guy.
Yeah. I mean, again,
he's in Rome now, isn't he?
I don't know. Actually, it's been years. It's been years since I've been.
He went to Rome.
Yeah. But my point really was, you know, you got to find someone who you identify with, someone that you can feel free around.
It's like a relationship.
It is. It's a relationship. Yeah. Exactly. And same with a spiritual director, you know. But that's another thing. Maybe we can talk about this in another session. But spiritual direction versus, you know, counseling. I think a lot of us as Catholics, we tend to think they're the same thing. And I used to think so as well. Luckily, I went to a priest who was a counselor, so that was able to do that. But I think I've come to realize that counseling is more about the psychological, emotional side of things, and spiritual direction is more about the how to practice my faith in a balanced way.
I mean, I think that it can't, in a perfect world.
Oh yeah.
I think those would be the same thing, because we're hylomorphic beings. We're one thing. We're body soul composites, and so, I mean, we're not some platonic separation. But in reality, sometimes people. I know personally, St. Thomas talks about how grace builds upon nature, or grace perfects nature, right? There are places in me, from a natural level, on the emotional level, on the mental level, that are broken enough that God has a hard time building on that foundation, and I we're all in that. It's why it perfects it. It's not perfect. You don't have to be perfect, but, you know, you can only shore up a foundation so much. I mean, at some point you have to get in there and repair it a little bit, then build. And I think if we're, as Catholics, that's really what, you know, psychological kind of counseling or, you know, that kind of thing is about. It's about it's about shoring up that natural base enough that grace has something to build on, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hard to desire to go to adoration and be with our Lord in the sacrament if you're fighting the fact that you need to start your adoration hour over and over again because your mind wandered or something like that. You're going to dread going, right? So you go in, you get yourself fixed a little bit, then it frees you up to do the spiritual.
Yeah.
Right? Is that your experience?
Well, yeah. I guess but more my point, I guess I should re-clarify what I was saying. I think a lot of people think of spiritual direction as counseling, or counseling as spiritual direction.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think it does need to be both. In an ideal world, it would be both. However, I think sometimes we tend to over-spiritualize our psychological problems.
That's
so
true.
So that's what I mean when you go to spiritual direction expecting to be fixed psychologically. That's a problem I think a lot of us as Catholics do. Where I'm going to go to a priest, and he's going to figure out my problems, and we're going to get it figured out.
Well, honestly, I went to whenever I was going to the AI back in 2006... I went to Father Sanji.
Oh, nice.
For several sessions, and we talked in the first one about spiritual direction, whether we should do spiritual direction or kind of psychological counseling. Mm-hmm. He asked me a bunch of questions. He says, it's my opinion that it would be better for you to do counseling first. We need to shore some stuff up. We need to fix some stuff, get you some solidity and some peace in some places. Then we can do the spiritual direction. So he did both, but he saw himself as doing one or the other in some ways. Even though he did them both in the same room with the same people, he wanted to do that first because they're different processes, right?
Yeah, and that's why I think I identified with Father Sanji way better. So,
man, my text is blowing up with counterpositioning listeners for some reason.
That's weird. Are we live? I didn't know.
They can feel the record. They can feel in the force that we're recording. All right, so, well, let's go off to the break, and when we get back, we're going to talk more about what an absolute train wreck me and Ducky are. You're listening to the counterposition. Oh, we'll see you on the other side.
Then how we crave a hanging in its dark.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
People singing, please don't sting, but please don't go.
Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. I am here with my friend and frequent...
Your proud host.
My friend, frequent interlocutor, and now roommate, finally, after all this time. I've been roommates with Ducky Stuff for quite a while. But,
yeah, you've heard about that on the show.
Probably
sure
like
before.
Every time, yeah. So every time I do a show, I'm like, I tried to get to my car, but all of Ducky's crap was in my way, you know, even though he doesn't live here anymore. So we're here with Jim Ducky Laurent, and we're talking about, you know, the tools that are available to help you in the struggle to just pull off this little project we call being human and trying to somehow image God in some way and have a relationship with the divine and what can get in the way. One of the things that can get in the way is psychological stuff. Ducky's been through anxiety, OCD, scrupulosity and stuff, and we're talking about that. Does this freak you out now?
No, it doesn't. I think it's, you know...
Why are you crying then?
I don't know.
You can't see it, but there's tears.
Andrew is like, he just has a way of bringing your soul outside of you.
I break you down.
Yeah. Just so you can build me up.
That's true, yeah. So, how are you doing these days? I mean, do you get to a point where you're like, oh, I'm done? Or do you get to a point where you're like... Okay, I mean, this is maintenance level, but you're tweaking, or is it the situation where you're like, oh, well, I'm kind of going downhill again. I need to kind of go in for a tune-up or something, you know? How is it for you?
That's a good question, yeah. I think it's I think it's a mixture of all of it, you know? I mean, I don't doubt that the Lord can completely heal me or anyone of any of this. But I also have gotten to the point where I realize... If he hasn't yet, there must be a reason that it's not completely gone. So I'm at a maintenance level at this point, I would say, and I'm at peace with that. I would like to go in for a checkup, a tune-up, so maybe I'll just go meet this Mr. Reinhardt gentleman as well. So we'll see. But
wait. No, make sure you tell him I sent you in case there's like...
Is there a finder's fee?
Yeah, in case I get like, you know, oh, you get a free session for every person you bring me or something. You know?
Okay, maybe I'll go to him first and then you can tell him I went.
No, I done got dibs. He's got my card first. And I'm stating for the public record here on
all
December.
Right,
all
right.
Was it December the 15th? Is that today?
Jesus. I don't know what
the
it is.
The 16th.
Yeah.
Gosh.
It's crazy.
This year is just rolling.
Advent, I haven't even like really been paying attention to Advent. It doesn't seem like it's
sinner
here. Yeah.
You haven't been paying attention to Advent?
Well, I mean, I've been trying to.
That makes Jesus cry.
I try to like force myself to like pay attention to it, but it doesn't happen. You know? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden Christmas is here, and I'm like, oh, well.
I keep looking past you, and there's a Mary statue right behind you. I keep going, hi, Mom.
Yeah. And she's got my back.
I can't believe you turned your back on her mother. So you're at a maintenance level now, you
yeah,
think?
Yeah, I'm at a maintenance level. And also with my experience in, you know, the last time I was on here, I talked about communion and liberation. That's the ecumenical movement of the church that I'm involved with. It's been very good for me, especially from this psychological standpoint, because when you talk about anxiety, I personally think the root of anxiety is control. To control your situation, say that I have to say and what's going to happen or what's not going to happen, especially obsessive compulsive. You're obsessed about something, you have to do something in order to control it, right?
Right.
And so for me, working through the text of Monsignor Luigi Giussani and the friendships that I have developed in Communion and Liberation have been instrumental in me being able to just let go and realize that any kind of reality that I could possibly have made for myself and anything that I can control about reality is not as interesting as the reality that God has already presented to me.
Reality is discovered, not created.
Exactly. And so allowing myself to just not control my own reality, quote unquote, but to basically just let it be what it is going to be, and God works through those right. things. So I feel that God is somehow working through my anxiety, is working through my psychological problems. We are broken human persons, and he works through that for his good.
Yeah. I think that here's the thing is that Merton has this concept, and it's from St. Thomas, the ideas in the mind of God. But like, so God, we know that God has a concept before he speaks something, right? Because that's what the word is. He reflects on himself, and this concept emerges, and it's so real that it's the second person of the Trinity. But we also see like in Scripture where, sorry, my nose is getting all nasty all of a sudden. I'm sniffing. Also, the Lord tells Jeremiah that before you were in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And so there is this thing that is us, that is in the mind of God. Before he says, let there be Jim, and you're conceived in your mom's womb, there's this concept. And God's being is so big and so immense that his communication to the world, he has to communicate some very small particular way with each of us. And so I want to say this real nuanced kind of thing to communicate this one kind of part of my being. So I'm going to make a gym. And sometimes we tend to think that's like, so you have to get it up. So you really need to get it all together. Then we'd all look like Jesus and we'd all be the same. And we'd all just be these nice little cookie cutters. But go look at the saints.
Yeah.
They're all so different. They're all weird. And some of them look a little nuts. Why? Because they've just really let God have his way. And sometimes that gets weird, man. That gets like very particular. Sometimes it gets really broken looking, you know, but God can somehow reflect himself through that in a way that he couldn't if someone was unwilling to be what they are, you know? And sometimes there's brokenness even in that, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think?
No, that's actually profound. I mean, and actually even just it's revelatory right now, just the idea that, you know, God is most glorious in his duckiness or his or his Andrewness.
Yeah.
You know?
Merton says the great gashed mountain is a saint. This particular clumsy foal, fresh out of the womb, stumbling to stand up on this particular spring afternoon is a saint. This great old tree that makes apples is a saint. Because they praise God by being themselves. Everything praises God, including me and you, by being what God made us to be. But the cool thing about us is he gives us free will and an intellect, so he involves us in that process, and we cannot play along or play along.
Yeah, exactly.
The mountain doesn't have a choice.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what makes human persons that much more reflective of the glory of God. I mean, we're seeing Irenaeus, the glory of God is man fully alive, but you can extend that, not just man in and of himself in this pure Platonic sense, but the glory of God is Andrew fully alive. The glory of God is Jim fully alive. Yeah, there's something profound about that.
Yeah, I think it's, it's like, we always kind of try to beat ourselves into this thing that we're not.
Yeah.
Right? I always use an example of like, If I was an industrial designer, right, and I made a toaster, right, and we took this toaster and we're like, things made out of metal should be hammers, and so we started like grabbing this toaster and beating it against nails and into the wall. You would just bend the nails, you'd break the wall, and you'd beat the hell out of the toaster because it's not made for that. It's made, you plug it into a source and then you put bread in it and hit the button and it gives you toast. I mean, it's not supposed to be getting beat against a wall anywhere, you know? Yeah. But so we're built to reflect what God made us. And some of that is like super humble, quiet, contemplative people working with the poor. Some of them are brilliant, crazy, smart theologians writing these big books. Some of them are big, fat weirdos that talk too much that they get given a radio show for some weird reason. I mean, you have to kind of be okay with going, this is what I am, and I'm not that.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I mean, I'm just doing what God made me to do, or be, right?
Yeah, and God uses all things for his good. He uses anxiety for his good, you know, to help train myself to be more dependent on him and not on myself.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, like, when it starts getting toxic,
Yeah.
Like when you're sitting in the chapel for 6-7 hours and you can't pray, then... But that being said, I mean, where would Satan attack you at?
Mm-hmm.
He attacks you at the place that could be the most connected between you and...
Yeah.
So not to say that everybody who's got some kind of psychological problem, hey, that's God, and you should just go with it. We're not saying that at all. We're saying get help. Figure out... I think that a lot of times psychological troubles are... It's the weakness that is the flip side of a strength. You know?
Explain.
Well, like, you can be a really, really, really good listener, right? But that could manifest as being really uncomfortable talking in conversation, or never asserting yourself, or always being too quiet and shy, or whatever, when really, it's not that. You just, there's a strength that you haven't really developed in a way. And there's just ways, if you're that strong on this, the opposite can't be a strength. And so sometimes those things can show up as a weakness. Like, I know I personally have a hard time dwelling in the moment,
mm-hmm.
because I'm so bent towards, I'm built for strategy and visualization and being a visionary. I couldn't be as visionary and strategic as I am and be able to be content in the moment.
Yeah.
They're just not made that way, you know?
That's funny. I'm like the opposite. I'm too focused in the moment that I forget what's going on tomorrow.
Right.
Even to the chagrin of my roommates not giving him a check to pay my rent.
No, you paid on time for me.
I know.
Here.
You can talk to Perry.
Oh.
It took me a while to get him my check.
Oh, okay. Well, he didn't out you on that. So, all right, let's go to the break. When we get back, we're going to talk some more about this beautiful broken mess that is me and Duffy and the rest of reality. You're listening to The Counter Position.
Then all this color glass, that painter's palette smash. All the colors of my soul.
If you enjoy listening to Andrew Whaley on The Counter Position, you should become a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
I'm a hyena laughing fool. I'm a hero without anyone to save. Love decked myself in toys. I'm a poor and kingly boy. Oh, I'm lovely, and I'm dull.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, so I'm here with Jim, Ducky Laurent. It's the fourth segment, the final lap. Dude, I always tell my listeners about...
I know, it's a story about high school,
the
right?
The open mile, man.
Yeah.
Get forced to be... I had a flashback to the open mile. I was in the Chicago airport, having to run to try to make the plane.
Yeah.
I was a big fat guy running through the airport. Everybody was staring at me, but I couldn't stop. Just like in the open mile. Thanks, Coach Henderson. It's going to be great. One of these days, I'm going to get...
41 state if you put me in.
One of these days, I'm gonna get Coach Henderson out there to make you think we're gonna talk about educational philosophy or something. I'm gonna, because he's like the principal of our high school now.
Oh, really?
I'm gonna be like, okay, I have a question. Why would you make some fat kid who's like super good at his event and who just did really well? Why would you make him run in front of girls from another school? Why would you do that, Coach?
That's hilarious.
I tell you, I've been planning some counter position coffee mugs I want to brand. And the first one, because as soon as I want to get a new logo. As soon as I get a new logo, I got the first one's going to have Harvey the Energy Whale on the other side. It's a long story if you don't know about Harvey.
I don't think I do, actually, but so, off air maybe.
I haven't mentioned Harvey in a while. Harvey's my energy whale. He's a whale man of energy. it goes back to me and Blaha, Nick Blaha, having a conversation about whether or not God made, you know, God made all kinds of stuff. Maybe he made some things that are non-corporeal but aren't intelligent like demons and angels. Maybe he just made like a whale made out of energy. And it just swims right through the middle of us, and we don't notice it. It's just a big animal of some kind, made out of energy and not made out of flesh.
Wow.
And so that started Harvey the Energy Whale.
That's funny.
And a bunch of my listeners love Harvey the Energy Whale, and they text me about him all the time.
That's
so funny. I want to put Harvey the Energy Whale, but the other one's going to be just the fat boy sweating, just running in the final lap, just like on the back of the cup.
Being chased, you always ask, where are you being chased from?
Yeah,
from Harvey the energy wheel.
Right, and then just like, there's this girls from another school pointing at him and laughing. You know, that's going to be on the mug.
That would be hilarious.
So, all right, so we've talked about anxiety and getting over anxiety and imaging God in this world. Now, John Paul II famously had a development in theology where he saw that we image God primarily not as kind of the different faculties within us, like the way Augustine talked about it, like mind, will, or, you know, intellect, will, and memory, I think it was with Augustine. Mm. He saw that we image the Trinity most completely when we are a communio personarum, a communion of persons, primarily in the family. This mutual gift of self that gets embodied in a love and a third, right? So how's that going for you, Ducky? Are you?
Hey, we're
going
to get into the single life now.
How you doing? How you doing on finding someone to help you with this project of imaging the Trinity? Jim and I talk about this all the time.
Oh yeah, we were just talking over lunch today, of course.
Yeah, because I'm 46. Jim is 30. I'm going to out you.
No, actually, I'll be 40 in January.
Oh my gosh,
so,
dude.
Yeah.
The big
4-0.
We have to have a bash.
Yeah, we do.
We need to get Schneer out here.
Dude, that would be killer.
Okay, I'm going to work on that.
The Schnizzle could come out.
That's just enough of a guilt trip that I could probably get Justin to come out.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, Ducky's turning 40. We're going to... We'll actually get Chris to hang out.
He turned 40, and I wasn't able to go out to his party.
I know. I didn't get to go either.
I was going to, but there was a certain someone out there in California who I was going to see as well, but that's not happening anymore. So I lost my excuse to go out to California.
So Jim and I frequently talk about people we could or could not ask out on dates.
this is I don't know where the listeners live here, but in Denver this is like the big discussion. You know, we got all these wonderful, great young Catholic people, but no one dates. And there's always like, well, the guys say, well, the girls take it too seriously, so if I ask them out, they're going to get freaked out, and they think I'm going to marry them. And the girls keep on saying, well, why don't all any of the guys ask me out, because blah, 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 blah. It's just this whole stupid thing, but... I don't know. I'm to the point where I think you just got to get to the point where you're just like, I don't give a crap anymore. I'm going to ask you out. Seriously.
I'm going to ask you on a date, girl.
The back of your head is ridiculous.
I'm just kidding. I was like, that's a bad line. Don't use that. It's like, I've talked about this before. Okay, here, one thing that you have to do in Denver is you have to, and maybe this is everywhere now, when you go do something with someone, you have to figure out if it's a date that you're on.
Yeah.
And it's gotten down to the point where you have to use the D word.
Yeah.
Or you might not be on a date.
Yeah.
And it's like, I asked the girl out. She's in her mid-30s. I'm 44 at the time, I think. I'm a grown-ass man. She's a grown-ass woman. I say, hey, would you like to have some dinner sometime? Yeah, let's get dinner. I meet her. She gets off work. I meet her at the restaurant. It's a nice restaurant. I picked us out a table. I picked us out a bottle of wine. We have dinner and conversation for 2 hours. And then when I try to pay the check, she goes, well, let's go Dutch on it. Let me catch half of that. And I'm like, well, no, I'm kind of old-fashioned. I think the guy should pay. Let me get this one. And she's, well, I am too. But, you know, this is kind of a friendly thing. And I'm like, what part of would you like to get dinner?
Yeah.
What part of I got enough friends? Didn't you understand?
Yeah.
If a grown man asks a grown woman to go eat dinner at a nice restaurant at night,
it's probably a date.
It's probably a date, in my mind. You know.
Yeah.
Does
it need to be defined so much though, or just people want clarity? I think people just want clarity and to understand where am I at in this? Where are we going? Which is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's like, where's the adventure in that? Let's go freaking hang out. I don't give a crap if it's a date or not.
Yeah, no, because I've spoken like a not quite 40-year-old. That's what I'm saying. You know, I'm 46.
Learn from your 5-year-old, five-year older wisdom.
My biological clock is ticking, Ducky. You know, pretty soon men can make babies into their 80s or whatever, but at some point I'm gonna be so old and so ugly that no one who could make a baby would be seen in public with me, let alone want to help.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
I got these razor sharp claws. Like,
just batting the bunny.
Yeah, I'm amazed by. I threw that quote out the other day, and I'm amazed by how many people don't get a swingers quote anymore.
Oh, don't get it at all. Yeah, they don't get it at all. No, but I'm with you. I wasn't trying to say that necessarily. You shouldn't define it as a date. I think. Are we just thinking way too much about it? Okay, I'm going to shout out to my friend Tomas. My friend Tomas Huerta, he's my wingman. He's been my boy since college. And he has been my wingman. Every time we would just go to clubs, we'd go dancing.
Well, he kind of owes you. He stole your wife.
Yeah, that'll be another story. He doesn't listen to this podcast. Maybe I'll have him listen to this one. But I got to give a shout out to you, Tomas. Whenever we would go out to a club and go in dancing, he would say, you know, I would always be like, well, I don't know, this girl, she might not be Catholic. Why would I even go talk to this girl if she's not going to be Catholic? And what's going to happen if it doesn't work out? He's like, you know what? Your attitude has to be, I don't give a That's your attitude tonight. Like, it
now,
we
might have gone right up to the edge of the fence.
Yeah, that's why I didn't say it.
Yeah, good. Yeah,
I didn't say it.
I cuss occasionally on the show, but yeah. we don't go there.
We don't drop F-bombs.
I want to keep my clean reading on the iTunes podcast.
So he says, your attitude has to be, I don't give a hootenanny.
A hootenanny.
Okay.
A hoot.
And so, but he's absolutely right. He was like, you don't think about the next step. You know what? So what? All you know right now is that this is an attractive girl. She seems fun. Talk to her. Who cares?
See, I had to get over my innate romanticism. I was just like, I was convinced that I was not worried about this. I wasn't trying. Wasn't concerned about it at all. Because I'm going to be on a train, like in Austria or in a cafe in Paris. And I'm going to see her across a crowded room. She's going to see me, and there's going to be violins. Like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And we're going to float through the air at each other. And I'm going to reach in my shirt, and I'm going to pull it out. I'm going to go, do you have the other half of this amulet? She's like, yes. And then we're just going to immediately have children. I mean, name them after saints and send them to Thomas Aquinas College. I mean, that was the plan.
Yeah.
It didn't happen that way.
Yeah, and it doesn't.
Well, now they tell me. I mean, you know.
No, I think we all suffer from that, you know.
Right. So, okay. So, if you're listening and you're like, I like this ducky guy, you know, just shoot me an email at thecounterposition@gmail.com and I will send you over to the old duckster there, you know.
Oh, shizzle.
I'll hook you up.
I'll sing Barry White to you anytime.
Never, never going to give you up. Never, never, never going to stop. That's what I do when I need confidence. I was looking rare. When I just look at a mirror, that's why there's a scene out of, I can't remember, what was the Ally McBeal? Remember that show back in the day?
I'm a man. I don't watch that show.
Yeah, the little short guy that was her her boss, he's like, he would like stand in the mirror and sing Barry White to himself, like, you know, kind of like lip sync it.
Yeah.
And it's like, dun, 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 let's get it together, baby. Dun, 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 oh, yeah. So every once in a while, I look at myself in the mirror and I sing Barry White to myself.
That's awesome.
Doesn't everyone?
I sing Tom Jones to myself, actually.
You sing Tom Jones like all the time.
That's my karaoke song. That's my go-to.
I think Tom Jones is your spirit animal.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you what. I'm just going to be more explicit with my dating. When I try to ask someone on a date, I'm just going to be like, here's my new, I'm going to run this past you. What do you think?
All right.
Hey, how's it going? Susie? Yeah, I'm Andrew. Yeah, nice to meet you. Yeah. Hey, I've got this project, and I thought maybe you could help me with it. I wanted to create some small genetic copies of myself, name them after saints, homeschool them, and then send them to Thomas Aquinas College. Would you be interested in giving me a hand with that sometime? We could maybe have drinks and talk about it, you know? You can't misconstrue that. I think you know you're on a date and why you're on a date after that. Please.
Sing Let's Get It On by Barry White. Or you can do that.
That's not Barry White didn't do Let's Get It On. That's a Marvin Gaye song.
Oh, it is.
Or Al Green song.
Al Green. I don't know.
Or is it Marvin Gaye?
Al Gay. Marvin Green.
Okay, on that note. All right, say goodbye, Ducky.
All right, this has been fun. Have a good one.
Goodbye, Ducky. All right, thanks for coming on the show. All right, that's all she wrote, and there ain't no more. Let's pull the plug. Pop the cork on another episode of The Counter Position. Thanks for coming out, kids.
I take your place in my old stone. I take your place in my old stone.